Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
No fans. We actually had the forest fire smoke was so bad that we ended up playing five of our 30 home games on the road. But I'm reminded of two things. One, no one cares if wealthy sports team owners lose money. You know, shut up and move on.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on The Score.
All right. So this story is going to – you're going to have to just trust us on this one, Mob. Spiegs, I don't know how closely you followed it, but that was Kevin Mather? Mather? Do we know Mathers. How it's pronounced? Mather?
I thought it was Mathers. Kevin Mathers.
I don't think there's an S at the end of it. There's not an S at the end of it. It's Kevin Mather. But he is the former now CEO. He's resigned since the show started. Team president and CEO of the Seattle Mariners. He spoke to a Rotary Club and got very candid. Said a few too many truths. Said the quiet part out loud. And the audio got uploaded onto the Zoom audio got uploaded onto YouTube. Got removed. Got transcribed. Made its way around the internet. He apologized on Sunday. And by today, he had resigned. And I want you to help me out here to, like, localize this a little bit. Because he's the president of the Mariners, but he's also a minority owner in the team. So this would be akin to, it's like bigger than Kenny Williams or bigger than Crane Kenny, right? It would be like if Crane Kenny owned a piece of the Cubs and said these comments, or if Kenny Williams owned a piece of the Cubs of the White Sox and said these comments, right? Is that fair to kind of localize it for a little bit in terms of the stature of what this person is within the game?
I think that's fair. I think it's Crane Kenny plus. It's a president and CEO. That's what Kevin Mather was, and as you say, one of the minority owners as well. And he's been under some fire before, as
correct.
Well, gotten in some trouble with creating an uncomfortable workplace environment for women in 2018 and survived that as president and CEO of the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, they had a workplace discrimination lawsuit against two female employees back in 2009, 2010. Came out. They settled on his behalf, still promoted him. Like you said, there was a report of, you know, $500,000 settlements. And so, yeah, this is not a man without, you know, prior issues on his workplace resume. But I think the context of what matters here also is not just, you know, team CEO says quiet part out loud. It's the union doesn't trust the ownership group already. And after next year, you've got CBA negotiation time. Right, like we know about all of the public back and forth between players and owners at the start of the pandemic and the revenue share and all of the things that have happened like that. Like, there's a lot of people who already think it's kind of tenuous and that we could be looking at a post-2022 work stoppage in Major League Baseball. Right? You would agree that that is a big underlying story across
Absolutely.
The industry of baseball, that we maybe have two baseball seasons left before work stoppage time?
One baseball season. It's this upcoming winter after this baseball season when they've really got to sort everything out. Yeah, absolutely. And And there are parts of this, the culturally insensitive parts of this, that are will get a lot of the headlines, but there is a lot of financial truths. There are a lot of financial truths and just kind of common sense economics that he said out loud with a tremendous amount of comfort in front of these people, that it ends up being actually a very valuable addition to the discourse and the knowledge base for people, because we know that guys feel like this and just haven't said it. And he just went ahead and said it on a bunch of different fronts financially and in some ways that are really, really kind of gross. But
yeah, well, so
that's
let's start with the easy stuff. Let's start with the stuff that, like you said, was culturally insensitive, racist, that got him fired, right? So, Tanny, let's start with number four, actually, on your sheet here. This is him talking about hiring their former All-Star pitcher, Hisashi Iwakuma, to be a part of the team. But the complaint, and this is, again, this is an owner of a baseball team and a team president complaining about a $75,000 expense for an interpreter.
We just rehired Iwakuma. Iwakuma was a pitcher for us for a number of years. Wonderful human being. His English is terrible. He wanted to get back into the game. He wanted to, and he came to us, and we quite frankly want him as our Asian scout interpreter. What's going on in the Japanese league? He's coming to spring training, and I made the statement. I'm tired of paying his interpreter, because when he was a player, you know, we pay Iwakuma X, but we also had to pay $75,000 a year to have an interpreter with him. His English suddenly got better.
So, just keep in mind, by the way, this team is in Seattle. Huge Asian population. Ichiro is the most beloved player in the history of the franchise.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about a $75,000 a year employee as an interpreter for a billion-dollar organization.
Hisashi Iwakuma made, from the Mariners, $46,500,000 between 2012 and 2018. And here's
fan
Kevin
favorite,
Mather.
All-star.
Yep. And here's Kevin Mather bitching about 75 grand for an interpreter when, as you say, the footprint of this team is what it is in Japan and in a large part of the Northwest because of Ichiro Suzuki. Ridiculous.
Okay. So completely outlandish. Then, Tanny, let's go just in the same vein. Number two here. This is about their one of the top prospects in baseball, their top prospect, their outfielder, Julio Rodriguez.
My guy.
Julio Rodriguez has got a personality bigger than all of you combined. He is loud. His English is not tremendous, but him and Kelenic are very good friends. He's a year behind Kelenic. He will probably be here in, everybody says 2021. He won't be here till 2022 or 2023.
I'd like to hear Kevin Mather speak Japanese or Spanish. This guy judging these baseball players on their ability to speak publicly in their second language. And then here's the most damning part about that one about Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Beat reporters for the Mariners have come out in this kid's defense and
He's
have said
wrong. Yeah.
That he has been working very hard on learning his English and going back to 2018 has even requested not having an interpreter and conducting interviews in English because he is trying desperately to speak and learn the English language and has been successful and can speak English just fine. Thank you.
I think this ends up being the most embarrassing one because of that, because not only is it offensive to what the reality could be and is for a lot of 20-year-olds from the Dominican, but he got it so completely wrong. And I mean, and Rodriguez has been, as you say, busting his butt to be good at this, cares about it. And Kevin Mather doesn't even freaking know. He doesn't even have a clue, but just assumes in a really awkward profiling moment that it is what it is, and he's so wrong. There's also a tremendous economic subtext in there because it's about Kelenic and service time. And, oh, by the way, Rodriguez won't be here till 2022 or 2023, just flat out assuming that he's not going to play his way towards a deserved spot, even though he's one of the best prospects in baseball.
So again, we're going over, this is Kevin Mather, who has resigned as the president and CEO of the Mariners today. This is like, you know, a Crane Kenny, Kenny Williams plus, as if the president of a baseball team also had a minority ownership stake, talking about, complaining about the $75,000 salary for a Japanese translator, complaining or critiquing the ability to speak English of their top Spanish-speaking prospect, and then... You maybe remember a little thing about service time manipulation. Chris Bryant, 7 is better than 6. This, listen to this one in the context of you're the players' union negotiating against the owners after this baseball season.
If our major league team had had a COVID outbreak or, you know, injuries and we had to call people up from the taxi squad, we were a little short on players because there was no chance you were going to see these young players at T-Mobile Park. We weren't going to put them on the 40-man roster. We weren't going to start the service time clock. There were all kinds of reasons that if we would have had an injury problem or a COVID outbreak, you might have seen my big tummy out there in left field. You would not have seen our young players, our prospects, playing at T-Mobile Park.
Could you imagine if that quote came out about the Cubs for Scott Boras when he was dealing with the grievance hearing, the grievance hearing on behalf of Chris Bryant? It's the silver bullet. It's checkmate. It's the headshot. That is what we all know, that ownership to control players manipulates service time to get extra years of control, and they make up reasons to keep top prospects in the minor leagues for an arbitrary amount of time.
Yeah, this is what everybody does, and they either try to deal with it artfully by delaying it as long as they can, and try to give you like fancy doublespeak on it, or sometimes they buy out those issues by signing preemptive contract extensions. Very smart of the White Sox to have done it, so they didn't even have to dance around it. Didn't even have to deal with it with the likes of Eloy and Luis Robert, you know, and Tim Anderson. Like, don't even have to even think about it because they just went ahead and signed these guys. I'm struck, though, Danny, as we're hearing it, and I want to make sure that people know, this is not a Q&A session. This is a speech to the Rotary Club in Seattle. And listen to the comfort level of this entitled elitist jackass being self-deprecating. You'd rather see me, you'd sooner see my tummy out there in left field. He thinks he's among completely safe, economically advantaged friends who, and this word will never get back to the players, never get back to the fans about how little they give a crap about winning and what they're doing and just how blatant and ugly it is, because he feels safe. He feels so safe in his freaking cocoon to be giving this speech over Zoom, never thinking that it was going to get him in trouble.
And I obviously agree with you, but that's just stupid. Because even if you're in a room of like, oh, it's a Rotary Club, it's a bunch of rich white people, I'm sure all rich white people feel the same. That's still really dumb, because obviously all rich white people do not feel the same.
Yes.
But if he says this and talks like this to a Rotary Club, what do you think he says at the MLB owners' meetings?
Uh-huh.
And to me, that, I can't say that Jerry Reinsdorf and Tom Ricketts definitively feel this way. That would not be fair for me to say it. But it is absolutely fair to say that that belief system, that operation, the way that he's talking there, is he would feel comfortable saying that and speaking that way among baseball owners because he is one. And so
yes,
if you're the head of the baseball union, this is checkmate. This is what they think of you. This is how they treat your players. This is how they try to take advantage or judge the Latin workforce, or how they roll their eyes. This is America, Jack, speak English. Like how they think of you in that way. And so it's real ugly, man. And so when we talk about the Ricketts family or the Reinsdorf family and we try to hold some degree of accountability and get frustrated and that sort of thing, man, these are billionaires with a ton of power. Now, Kevin Mather is not a billionaire. He is a minority owner of a baseball team.
but he's also their president and CEO. So he has risen up into that realm of comfortability and privilege, protection, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
That is the mind frame of which these people are operating, by and large. Not all of them, but by and large.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure there are outliers, as we have seen by some vocal owners in sports and some vocal owners in baseball that do not generalize in this way. But
of course,
you know, but in terms of serving the dollar and the business, this is absolutely how they think. It is absolutely how they think. And every once in a while, you get a crystalline moment where it becomes very obvious, whether it is in the negotiation phase, whether it is in the discomfort of something happening to a player that you're emotionally tied to, or whether, like this, it is a speech where the dude is showing off. He is trying to share. You know, it's like a speaking engagement. Hey, all right, let me take you inside. And he's feeling super cool. This is the Rotary Club. And he wants them to know just how he thinks about stuff. He's proud of all of these thoughts. He's proud of the economic disparity, proud of the methodology that has got him here, that keeps him in this job until today.
So let's hear one more clip here. And again, this is Kevin Mather. He resigned, president, CEO, has an ownership stake in the Seattle Mariners. He's already complained about hiring a $75,000 interpreter for a Japanese pitcher who made the All-Star team, was a fan favorite. They paid over $46 million to for a fan base that has made hundreds of millions of dollars in Asia because of their association with Ichiro Suzuki. He has incorrectly mocked or judged the Spanish-speaking capabilities of their top prospect. He has admitted plainly and beyond any degree of refutability that they manipulate service time to save money with regards to their taxi squad. Again, billion-dollar franchise, owner of a team. Here's his thoughts on some of the expenses that goes into, you know, things like parking and the ballpark.
I worry about the neighborhood. We got to do something about our neighborhood. I worry about getting, once this is behind us, getting people to come to T-Mobile Park is it's going to be critical. My parking guy is talking about socially distanced fans, the 9,000 I talked about, and he wants to have all these management people back to run the parking garage. I said, there's going to be, for 9,000 people, there's enough parking around the ballpark. You're going to open the gates and say park for free, for crying out loud. Stop it. But little things like that we have to do to entice fans to come back down and experience the fun and joy of gathering at T-Mobile Park.
I just can't imagine, when you just think about the amount of money that these people are trafficking in and making, that when we talk about biblical losses and all of that stuff, just like remember where this money is. But that they'll complain about hiring parking attendants for games and interpreters for Japanese all-star pitchers.
It's how they got rich, right?
It's wild, man. It's just wild to hear it out loud. And that is a Major League Baseball owner. Again, a minority owner, but still. I don't know. Does he own 1%, 5%? I don't know. I was trying to look it up before the show. There's like 17 people in some ownership group that the Mariners have. They bought the team from the, I think it was the Nintendo Corporation. John Stanton is the majority owner. So I don't know how much this guy owns. But again, he's in the club. He's in the club of baseball owners. And this is how they feel about the little expenses and the diversity and the language barriers and the service time and all of that stuff. It's gross, man. It's
yeah,
gross.
It's just how the you know, every once in a while somebody lets you in and you're like, oh, okay, these are the institutionalized thoughts that are just totally accepted, and it's just kind of the way that a lot of these guys do business within there, and just the arrogance and the comfort. He also talked about Kyle Seager, who's their highest paid player, and talked about him. Yeah, he's good, but he's very overpaid. Like, you talk about him being grossly overpaid. Like, you signed the guy to a contract, and he was really good when you signed him to the contract, and now he's declined a little bit. Okay, well, you know, they live with it when you pay them too little, and you live with it when you pay them too much based on recent performance. It's just ridiculous.
I don't know. You know, I always try to think about this thing, all these topics from all sides, and it's just my nature of thinking about these stories that we talk about on the air. I don't know, and they got some time, but I don't know how the owners, like, what's their response for eliminating the service time manipulation game now in the next round of collective bargaining agreement? Like, it has to be done, right? Like, the good that will come from this is that there will be some workarounds to that rule, because they have them. They have them caught red-handed with those comments.
I don't know. I mean, they've known that this is what they do. He's saying it very plainly and making it very obvious. But, you know, to me, there's just no way that Tony Clark and Rob Manfred in a room would be pretending that this isn't the reality of it. You know, if you're really trying to get anywhere and talk about anything, you know this is the reality of it, and you don't need it said out loud. This, in terms of the court of public opinion and the discourse that we deal with when it gets ugly, this should absolutely make it a no-brainer for a lot of people. But in terms of the guys involved, man, they know. I'm sure I saw a quote from Anthony Rizzo saying he's relieved to have it out in the open. You know, and that's,
yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of players who are like, yeah, this is what it is. This is what they do. But what's the Pirates payroll right now? The Pirates payroll is like $14 million or something. It's preposterous how low the Pirates have gone. But the Cubs did it. Cubs did it. The White Sox did it, and we were cheering for it and saying it was time to do it. We found ways to talk about it, not prioritizing winning on the major league level, investing in other things on the minor league level and development and all that. This is, it's the way that it's designed that you have to do it, unless they were to change the massive design of it, which I don't think is going to happen, sadly enough.
Let's hear Anthony Rizzo, as you mentioned, responding to Kevin Mather's public comments about service time manipulation.
Comments like that, being in this game, you know, I mean, what he said is true to about 99.9%. It happens. It's just not out there and it's not said, and there's stories written on it. But, you know, there's teams that manipulate service time. There's teams that do it all the time. There's, you know, you just can go back to so many different guys, and that's been what has happened. And him coming out and saying that is just, it's pretty annoying and frustrating for us players, but it's not like we don't know anything that he said. It's just him saying that is something that, you know, good. I'm happy it's out there in the public now and people are seeing that this is the way it is. Yeah, that's pretty I didn't see that, but hearing that is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I know Darvish took a step last year and didn't need a translator here because he felt comfortable enough with you guys, so credit to you guys as the media, and he felt comfortable enough not to have a translator. But a lot of guys, when you put the mic and camera in front of their face that aren't used to talking a lot and not used to the English language, need that help. And it's no knock on them. They speak really good English. A lot of guys speak really good English, but if they need the help, they need the help. So not having a translator is just, hearing that is, that's just weird.
Weird is putting it kindly. It's just, the quiet part was said out loud.
Yeah, man.
And there will be ramifications from those comments beyond Kevin Mather resigning. But, all right, I was serious. You and I went on TV last night and did not take it very seriously. We dropped a lot of show references into our sports commentary.
You were the king. You were the king of doing that. I was very impressed with
oh,
the volume
you.
Of show references. I was just busy dropping opinion bombs, but, you know, whatever.
It was the game within the game. You guys can rate my ability to drop in show references in sports questions next on The Score.
Joining me tonight, Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes, we came up with the name Parkins and Spiegel all by ourselves.
Is that just a reflection of the creative energy you guys have, Matt?
Absolutely. In fact, we've been together before. It was Spiegel and Parkins, but we thought we'd really switch it up this time and get wacky and creative. So that gives you a little flavor for what you could expect when you tune in afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
I can see why this is so popular.
Of course. Go ahead.
Can I flip the double bird on the Twitch stream to our producers? Am I allowed to do that? Probably not. Probably
I think you can.
But I
there's no law against it.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
To the internet.
Boom!
I like
back
it.
Back at me. Back at me from Shade.
Good. Good.
Oh, God.
I had fun last night on Fox 32 with you from 10 to 10:30.
So did I.
It's a good
I had
time.
A lot of fun. Yeah, absolutely. And last night, I made sure not to do what I might have ordinarily done on a Sunday evening. Scotch. Made sure not to do that so I could be capable and solid come 10 o'clock.
I was really thankful that we got the reminder text from their producer extraordinaire, John Escra, at 3 p.m. Gave me plenty of time to be sober by 10 p.m. rolling around because I am apparently not a professional. And I forgot we were going on TV last night. So I was like, okay, time to get on the straight and narrow. Between now and 10, it's not going to be a problem. I'm going to be just fine. Thank you very little. But I was good. It was a good time. And here's the thing. Here's how prepared I was, Speaks.
Yeah, man.
Came up with a bit about 48 minutes before we went on the air. Someone tweeted at me when I promoted it on Twitter. It was like, you should drop in, like, there's no way to know or can't do it. I forget which reference. He was like, oh, that's kind of a clever idea. Which other references should I say? And so it's Sunday night. It's late. Not a lot of people are online. And people were sending them to me. And I got them. I was like, okay. So I wrote down on a little sheet next to my camera five or six show references. And Tanny, feel free to play any of them in any direction that you want. But let me know how you guys think I did here.
Why don't you say what the references are?
Oh, okay. Well, I don't remember what. So I did the There's No Way to Know. I definitely hit him with the There's No Way to Know. Let me hear
Danny,
that.
How do you see his season playing out this year?
Well, I mean, I think that there is really no way to know.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a strong opinion.
There's no way to know.
It's a strong opinion, right? It's a good, quick start. I hit him with a can't do it at some point.
Listen, I can't do it with you, Speaks, in terms of that optimism for the pitching staff. I love you. I hope you're right.
You know, that one was smooth because the others I caught as they went by, that one I didn't even realize you were doing it. So that's
thank
good.
You. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I hit him with a can't do it. I hit him with a there's no way to know. I couldn't work in the mob. Mob was a tough one. I don't know why. I should have been able to, but I wasn't able to work in mob.
Mob.
Into the
I
show.
I thought for sure it was coming during that Bulls segment. I was like, here we go. This is a
bench
great opportunity.
Mob.
Yeah, thank you, Speaks. Yeah.
Yes.
Any logical person would have just, that would have been easy. But
yeah, Ronnie
Danny.
Brewer and Kyle Korver joining a group, mentally at least, at that point.
I messed up. I didn't get Mob into play.
You had to let it play out.
Did you?
I did let it play out, yeah.
Tony La Russa, their 76-year-old manager, and some of the more outspoken, individualistic players on the White Sox. So I think we're going to have to let this one play out.
Yes.
It's not bad.
And then there was the one that you somehow got Pizza Friday in there, and I put my head in my hands, which someone noticed visually. I just couldn't avoid doing it.
How excited are you guys to be reunited on the air?
Oh, it's amazing. Reunited, and it feels so good. Speaks is the singer, but man, Speaks, I look good in that hoodie. I don't care what anybody says. That's a good-looking dress hoodie for me.
A dress hoodie? Is that a thing? It looks like a waffle. I can't figure out. I'm going to pour syrup all over the picture, and I bet it'll just stay right there in the crevices. But, yeah, we're excited, Caitlin. It's we like talking about the sports and also about other stuff, and we like having a good time and helping people's day go by faster. Don't you think, Danny?
I do. And we have pizza on Friday. We call it Pizza Friday. There's a lot of bad information out there about what Pizza Friday is, but tune in and we'll explain it to you.
All right. I'm all in on Pizza Friday. Let's move on and talk some Bulls.
Oh, poor
What's
Caitlin.
The problem, Shane? That's
the
beautiful.
Pizza Friday one was so forced. Everything else you did organically.
That's kind of the point of the bit, just forcing it.
No, absolutely not. It's
How are you
going to
get
me.
Pizza Friday into a sports show on television organically?
Nobody Sunday said night. The word Friday one time the entire show?
Not true. Actually, it was said on because we were talking about the Sixers game, the national TV game that the Bulls had. Could have gotten there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so you're saying, oh, that happened on a Pizza Friday? that would have been more organic? Is that your claim?
Yeah.
You know, settling in to watch that game after having pizza, we have pizza on Friday.
Exactly.
At the score.
See, that's why Speaks' name used to be first.
Well, Speaks is
still
all the great,
should be.
Great ideas after the fact, though. Everyone knows
that's true. Yeah.
He knows exactly how to play it after the fact. Yeah. When you're living in the moment, like Danny, like it's a lot harder.
Thank you, Danny.
Very smooth. I thought it was very smooth, actually, that Danny got all those in, except the Pizza Friday one, which is why I shook my head.
Quick
my
heel
head
turn
hands,
there.
But good job by you, Speaks, weaving in the term gravy.
They have gravy. They have like two-sided ambidextrous gravy.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Ambidextrous gravy.
I thought it was some kind of dog whistle with someone out there. I have no idea.
No, it's Michael Kopech and Garrett Crochet as starter caliber arms out of your bullpen to begin the year. That's two-sided ambidextrous gravy.
Yeah, but how can gravy is...
Gravy's just like grandma used to make on Sunday.
Yeah, gravy's not necessary. If the meat is moist enough, if the rotation is moist enough, Shane, and it's cooked well, then you don't need the gravy as a top.
They have gravy. They have like two-sided ambidextrous gravy.
So you're saying that Kopech and Garrett Crochet are not needed?
In terms of the rotation, yes. That was the conversation.
I'm sorry, I didn't watch.
You and everybody else.
I still think you're criticizing me for forcing in Pizza Friday, which, Shane, that's great pub for Pizza Friday as the president of Pizza Friday.
It is great. It's great pub, but I'm saying you didn't do it well enough. It was forced while the other things were
natural. Well, you talk about the bad information. You're the perpetrators of the bad info. It's you. You're the reason why we have to make that disclaimer. So the fact that you just like mentioned, oh,
because
bad
like
info.
Anything else, we have a good thing going, and here you come to co-opt it. It's like Twitter 2121. Everybody out there co-opting everyone's issues, trying to get clicks of their own. You're doing it for Pizza Friday.
I thought your issues were my issues. Are we not on the same team?
We are on the same team, but we're just saying you could have done a better job of making it seem natural and not like you're forcing a bit.
I get 5 references for the show into like 8 times that I spoke on TV last night, and that's not a good enough job. Speaks got 0 in.
0.
No, he got the gravy thing.
Well, yeah,
it's not a show reference.
But that wasn't Speaks' bit.
It was clearly a reference to someone.
Speaks wasn't trying to be the guy who fits the show references in. You were.
It was a reference to the I'm Fat podcast, clearly.
They have gravy. They have, like, two-sided ambidextrous gravy.
I thought I ended up with a decent description of the Cubs' rotation, something that I'm going to run with about that one, about the Cubs' rotation, because everybody thinks it's going to suck. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I think they're going to be sneaky decent. Not like real good or great, but sneaky decent. Zach.
And I think we need to steal sneaky decent as a promo for this show because I love that.
Sneaky decent. afternoons, 2-6 on the score. Listen, I can't do it with you, Speaks.
All right, sneaky decent. Print the T-shirts. Up next, we'll move to the hardwood.
See, she ran with that one. I gave her material. She referenced twice in callbacks, mister. That's a win right there.
Texter saying we're never going to be invited back. I disagree.
Are you guys doing it every Sunday, or is this was this a one-time thing?
No, they don't pay us nearly enough for that because they pay 0. So no.
You want me to walk across the street and get John to get you on next weekend?
No, I don't. But I think we can go on whenever we want to. I would do it with you occasionally, Speaks. What about you?
Yeah, I would do it occasionally. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm all in on Pizza Friday.
She's in on Pizza Friday. She's in on Sneaky Decent as a thing. But I'm going to run with Sneaky Decent for the Cubs rotation because I'm not saying it's going to be great, but I think they're going to be decent in a surprising, sneaky way.
I like...
Easy question for both of you. Danny, do you think they go to the playoffs?
Is that an easy question, Caitlin? Because there's the play-in situation now for the 7, 8, 9, 10 seats in these conferences, I'll say yes. The Bulls will make the playoffs in the East. Yes.
God. Parkins making it so much more difficult than it needs to be. This is what he does. Yes, of course they're going to be a playoff team.
Is that what I do?
Yes.
That That's my brand. Do.
By the way, our buddy Brett, the web guy, has texted in, and he's going with ambidextrous gravy as his new moniker. That's tremendous.
They have gravy. They have, like, two-sided ambidextrous gravy.
Am I wrong for that? Am I wrong for having two sided ambidextrous
gravy? Am I wrong for that?
I don't think so, Tyreek. I don't think you're wrong.
I don't think so either. I definitely think we deserve a TV show, though. I think that audition last night proved that Parkins and Spiegel, or hell, call the TV show Spiegel and Parkins.
Hold on. Slow that. Roll back the tape. Noted.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, the TV show could be called Spiegel and Parkins. That's totally fine.
That's your confidence in us getting the TV show, by the way. That's what that is.
This is Parkins and Spiegel on the Score.
Yesterday, my son had a pitching workout over right here by us at Bradley Sports, and he wants to videotape everything and look at everything, and he goes, "Dad, we have to get a Rapsodo."
Dan Bernstein, relatable since the early 90s. That is so great.
If somebody uses the Rapsodo on the high-speed camera more than us, I'd like to shake their hand.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine?
Jason Bernstein wants a Rapsodo? Just...
Yeah. Dad, can I have a Rapsodo for Hanukkah? It's perfect.
Yesterday, perfect. My son had a pitching workout over right here by us at Bradley Sports. And he wants to videotape everything and look at everything. And he goes, "Dad, we have to get a Rapsodo." And I said, no, we don't. Or you can get out there and go shovel every driveway and buy yourself a damn. I'm not getting you a Rapsodo. Like, you out of your mind? But it was this idea of feel. He's asking, was my spin rate better? Like, I don't know your damn spin rate. I don't know. But I'm not getting the kid a damn Rapsodo. I can tell you that. But you need it all now, I guess. God. Yeah, one of his teammates spent a week at Driveline, too. See, that's what ruined it for everybody. And he said, Dean went to Driveline for a week. He's got the weighted balls and the pull downs and all of the everything and the bands and everything you're doing. So that ruined it for everyone. Once that happened, I'm like, oh, no.
That's how they get you. We had some news come down while we were talking, by the way, speaking of pitching. Jeremy Jeffress is confirmed by Jesse Doherty, Mark Feinstein reported at first, to have agreed with the Nationals to a minor league deal.
A minor league deal?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, dude.
Dude. Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 to noon on the Score. The weighted balls weighing Dean down. Jason Bernstein wants a Rapsodo. Jeremy Jeffress, minor league deal. A lot going on there.
We got a lot going on here. Candlesticks would make a nice gift. Here's the thing. First of all,
a minor league deal.
Yeah. The weighted balls happens as you get older. I first noticed it with Saul at the gym, and now I can just vouch for it on my own, frankly, and I'm not embarrassed to say so. The minor league deal for Jeremy Jeffress. Yeah, the minor league deal.
A minor league deal?
Yes. Jeremy Jeffress wants to pitch for a team that's going for it, the Nationals. And the Cubs are deciding that Brandon Workman's potential rejuvenation using the pitch lab has a higher ceiling than getting the absolute most out of the dwindling benefits of Jeremy Jeffress like they did last year. I understand that. I like Jeremy Jeffress. I thought he was really good and a really good dude as well. But I understand he wanted the better opportunity, so it's up to him. But yeah, I mean, the weighted balls is probably the most compelling part of that.
I think a kid who's in high school asking for a Rapsodo machine for a present is just, that's a weird thing. That's a kid's these days. That's a new generation thing. It's a newer type of situation. The apple fell far from the tree, right? My dad, an Eagle Scout who was able to do everything, like with his hands and handiwork and all of that. And I obviously can do nothing. Dan Bernstein's son is an apple who did not fall very far from the tree. Just very interested in spin rate and Rapsodo machines and Vorp and crossword puzzles and whatever else he's into. I don't know, but that was
I support the idea of getting Jason Bernstein a Rapsodo.
I do,
but he should not stop there. He needs an Edutronic camera. He needs to get a Kinetrax over there that he can use. He needs the kind of biomechanics data that Jake Arrieta is going to utilize to rejuvenate his career here with the Cubs Pitch Lab. So let's start a campaign. especially because it would cost Bernstein money and add aggravation to his life and therefore entertainment to ours.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on board for any sort of campaign like that. And by the way, should we take Kristen Sharkey up on her recommendation of putting... What's her name?
No. Caitlin. No. Caitlin, dude.
What did I call her?
No. Kristen.
Caitlin. Oh,
damn it.
Damn it. Now we're so never sad. Getting invited never. Back.
We're done. We're done. Good night, everybody.
Dude.
You know, it's too bad that Luther Kanellis wasn't there to do his job.
Caitlin, I'm so sorry. You seem so... Yeah.
Cody McFerrin nice. Was really good for that hour before.
And you blew it!
Oh, I'm so sorry, Caitlin. No, I was saying we should take her up on it. Sneaky Parkinson Spiegel. Sneaky decent.
Sneaky decent. 2-6 on the score.
Yeah.
All right, I'm all in on Pizza Friday.
All right,
Caitlin Sharkey more likely to be invited to be part of Pizza Friday than me. I'm pretty sure. Anytime soon.
Yeah. But now I'm the least likely person to be invited back to Sports Zone on Sunday nights on Fox 32.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah.
You mean I don't have to stay up and watch anymore?
Oh, man. Oh,
I did it for you guys.
You DVR every week, Tanny. Stop pretending.
Yeah, that wasn't that much extra, was it? A little. You said you watched it with the family. Your family loves me.
No, that's usually what I would do. I said last night, thanks for the spoiler alert, so I had to sit down and watch last night that Pizza Friday was mentioned. Usually I wake up the family early on Monday morning, gather around the television, everyone. Uncle Danny and Uncle Matt, they're on the Zoom chat again with Caitlin Sharkey, advocate of Pizza Friday. And they're like, why are you waking us up? It's 4:30 in the morning.
It's a Monday morning tradition at the Tannehill House.
Biscuits and ambidextrous gravy. It's a great idea. Rambling Grimace in the morning with your TV. I like it. It's perfect.
There you go. And by the way, Layla was on TV last night, too. We were dominated.
Yeah,
No
one knew because you guys dominated the airwaves last night.
She was on at 10:30. We started at 10. So we were her lead-in. We were the appetizer to Layla Rahimi's entree. And she's a television professional, and we are ourselves. So, you know, her being on TV is not newsworthy. Being on TV.
You looked good. You were more TV-friendly than I was, though, last night.
Thank
you. Had background going.
Yeah, a little background going. I did the makeup.
You did the makeup. Yeah, the makeup and the hair.
Was ready to go, man. You were very casual. You were very, very casual on TV.
It's because when you're packing this kind of visual heat, Danny, you just you just have to show up.
Danny, did you ever find that other earbud there? I'm worried about it. What happened to it?
So an AirPod fell out of my ear during a scorching hot take that I had. And
it never returned.
No. And everybody noticed. I was really hopeful that there was B-roll over me at the time. But no, my brother texted me. Twitter let me know. You guys were kind enough to point out my flaw to me with a nice zoomed-in picture on my face, nice and pixelated on the group chat. So, yeah, felt good. No, nothing to build up your confidence like being invited to talk sports on TV to only have it torn down by your friends and family. It was lovely.
What friends tore it down?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking for my first. I'm looking for first.
Yeah, you're pretty loose with that friends word, buddy.
Colleagues. Colleagues and family, people forced to watch and support. Tim Anderson weighed in on a big storyline for the White Sox. We will get to it. Plus, predictions for what's coming for Zach LaVine. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.